Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
Do we now have a state-mandated form of liberal religion whose doctrines are now acceptable in the state?
When you have kids, there's a whole lot more to call you out of your self-centeredness.
The reason we stand opposed to sin is not because it hurts me. The reason we stand opposed to sin is because it hurts the sinner.
The Lord's mercy is opened up to us by the death of Jesus on the cross, so that the Christian looks at everything in this life and understands it as a gift from God.
UC Berkeley alumni who still support the freedom of speech, love, issues, etc. Fiat Lux and Go Bears.
I don't know how all this happened so quickly, but it apparently has. This is the new normal. The new normal calls for, in many ways, complete rejection of the old normal. And it's happening society-wide, whether it is the target near you deciding that it was going to risk its bottom line, and it certainly did bear that risk of its bottom line, to offer a gender-accommodating bathroom policy, in essence, a place for people who consider themselves either transgender or somewhere between, to go to the bathroom, well, where they feel comfortable, and where they feel comfortable might change from day to day, or your school, or your college, or who knows, maybe someday even your church. It looks like a transgender crusade to me. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 27th of June. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about that transgender crusade with Catherine Kirsten, author of a column for First Things titled Transgender Conformity. In the first few minutes of the program, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute joins us after that to talk about a Supreme Court decision to uphold a lower court decision on birth certificates of children of gay couples. See if that's good news or bad news. Then Pastor Peter Specker joins us, author of the new book, Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters, to talk about a recent statement made by Mark Zuckerberg about church and community church members. He says, well, Facebook is there if you can't find church. And Pastor Tom Baker leads us in a Sunday school lesson in the last part of the program, Joseph caring for Jacob, his father, in Genesis chapters 46 and 47. Feel free to join us with your questions or your comments over the course of the next 2 hours. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the transgender crusade, Catherine Kirsten, Senior Policy Fellow at the Center of the American Experiment, based in Minneapolis, and author of a recent column for First Things titled Transgender Conformity. Catherine, welcome to Issues Etc.
Great to be with you.
Tell us the story, and it's a little complicated, but it illustrates things so well. Tell us the story about Nova Classical Academy in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yes. Well, Nova Classical Academy is a K-12 charter school in St. Paul, and recognized in a number of respects as literally one of the best schools in the nation. And back in October 2015, Nova parents were surprised to get a communication from the principal that there was a kindergarten student, a gender nonconforming kindergarten student, the school would now be supporting. This, it turned out, meant that there would be some very, very significant changes at Nova Classical Academy. This was a five-year-old boy who thought that he was kind of a half-boy, half-girl, but over the next few months decided, along with his parents, that he was, in fact, a girl, wanted to be treated as a girl, addressed as a girl, etc. Well, you can imagine the kind of concern that was expressed by many parents. The school was literally ripped apart over this controversy. The parents of this child wanted certain new books to be used and, of course, new policies. At the end of this process, the school was basically compelled to, or the leadership believed that they were compelled to adopt the St. Paul School's inclusive, gender-inclusive policy, which meant the usual, you know, no bathroom differences. Kids on overnight trips could decide the sex of the students they wanted to room with, et cetera, et cetera. And despite this victory by the parents, they pulled their child from the school, and the St. Paul Human Rights Commission just ruled like a week ago that there was grounds to find the school guilty of discriminatory treatment of this five-year-old boy who wanted to be a girl.
So if this can happen at, I think it's fair to say, a prestigious elementary school, we used to call them.
Yep, correct.
What does that tell you about the state of the transgender agenda in the United States today?
Well, this is a comprehensive agenda. There is a kind of soft authoritarianism in the ideology that propels this. And I think, as we saw with the same-sex marriage crusade, dissent will not be tolerated. The next step for the kinds of folks who brought us this incident at Nova is something called the Transgender Toolkit. And they are now, through the Department of Minnesota, which was wholly on board, they are attempting to impose this kind of policy on every public school in Minnesota. And there will be a vote at the Department of Education by the Safe Schools Committee in mid-July as to whether this should be imposed on all schools across the state.
So this is something that we can expect to see come to at least a school near us.
Oh, very much so. This is a national campaign. There are national tools and resources used. The institutions behind this are extremely well-funded, you know, the Human Rights Campaign and similar national organizations, and they mean to have their way.
Then let's talk about how the transgender agenda kind of ideologically structures itself. What is the basic claim of the transgender agenda?
Well, the basic claim is that we as human beings are not limited by physical reality. Their understanding of the human person is very different from the traditional American understanding, or let's say the universal understanding throughout human history. And that is that through force of will, each person can essentially decide who, in every respect, he or she is. So if I am a woman who wants to be a man, I will regard it as a violation of my rights to be told that, in fact, the fact that I have a certain kind of DNA marker, that I am female undeniably, in a physical sense, that this doesn't matter at all, because what matters is what is in my head and the force of my will. And this is a fundamental claim that reality has really nothing to do with, but it's their claim and they're sticking to it.
You actually quote Dr. Paul McHugh of Johns Hopkins.
Yes.
Saying that this central claim is, in his words, starkly, nakedly false.
Yes, you know, he says it's starkly, nakedly false that a man can become a woman or a woman can become a man. I mean, he acknowledges that, of course, you can give cross-sex hormones, you can give testosterone to a genetic female, but what you'll get is a masculinized woman. You will not get a real man. You can never, although you can, you know, induce, you know, male pattern baldness and that kind of thing in females by giving them testosterone, you can never construct sexual organs that will allow a woman to father a child, or a man to bear a child. This is the kind of physical fact that the transgender activists simply refuse to acknowledge.
How is gender dysphoria, as it's sometimes called, how is it classified in the medical or the psychological, psychiatric world?
Well, it used to be called, as I recall, until very recently, gender dysmorphia. But now it's called gender dysphoria. They are denying that it really is a psychological disorder for a five-year-old boy to believe that he is, in fact, a girl. He's somehow a girl trapped in a boy's body. They want to say now that the problem there is simply that this child is uncomfortable with his so-called gender identity. This is no longer a true psychological disorder in their view. But Dr. Paul McHugh, for example, who is a nationally renowned psychiatrist, says that, in fact, this is a disorder on the order of anorexia nervosa, where the sufferer has a mistaken idea of her physical condition. You know, she thinks that she's obese when in fact she's dangerously thin. This is an actual psychological disorder, and Dr. McHugh insists that the traditional view of this should hold, that this is in fact a psychological problem, not just a level of discomfort that should concern us.
Now, what should be done in the case of, and the very unfortunate case of, before we get to what the transgender agenda calls for us to do with children who
right.
believe themselves to be misgendered, what should be done? Or what has been done in the past?
Yeah, what traditionally was done, and of course this is a very, very recent phenomenon that literally didn't exist until, you know, a matter of a few decades ago. But even people who support this transgender vision have to acknowledge that of children who do experience discomfort with their so-called gender identity, 70 to 95% of them will, at the end of adolescence, be comfortable with the fact that they are male or that they are female. So because of that, this has been treated simply with so-called watchful waiting, that is counseling and family therapy. But that's no longer the case.
What is being done?
Well, increasingly, children are being affirmed by doctors, and parents are being told by doctors they should affirm their children in this mistaken notion of so-called gender identity. Starting at the age of five, as is what happened with this child at Nova Classical Academy, you know, the parents were encouraged to start letting him wear pink sparkly shoes and pigtails and girls' uniforms and that kind of thing. And then at the age of puberty, or between the ages of 12 and 13, increasingly, these kids are being given puberty blockers that will prevent the normal progression of puberty and the appearance of secondary sex characteristics we associate with male or female. And then at the age of 16, they are being given cross-sex hormones. So girls are being given testosterone and boys are being given estrogen-type hormones. At the age of 18 or so, sometimes before, full-blown, you know, quote, sex reassignment surgery can be performed. And this is, you know, double mastectomies and girls, basically castration in boys. These kinds of complete life-altering surgical procedures can be performed.
We are talking on this Tuesday afternoon, June the 27th, with Catherine Kirsten, Senior Policy Fellow at the Center of the American Experiment based in Minneapolis and author of a column for First Things titled Transgender Conformity, about the transgender crusade. When we come back, we're going to discuss, well, that, what she just described, as not only a massive social experiment, political experiment, but really, if you have to be honest, medical experiment on America's children. Stay tuned.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
I've got some friends down in Houston.
Join Mark and Molly Hemingway, Brian Wolfmiller, Rod Dreher, Jennifer Roback Morse, Scott Murray, and me for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
And they won't ask me questions.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Transgender Crusade. Catherine Kirsten of the Center of the American Experiment, based in Minneapolis, is our guest. Catherine, what you just described before the break doesn't just sound like a social experiment or a political experiment. It sounds like medical experiments being conducted on American youth, many of whom are not able, in any other circumstances, to give consent to such things.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And that's one reason this is just such an astonishing development. This is a massive, uncontrolled experiment. And as I said, the consequences for life can be just transformative in the most harmful way you can imagine. For example, if you put children at the age of 12 or 13 on puberty blockers and you follow with the cross-sex hormones, which is increasingly being done, these children will inevitably be sterile for life. And places like Seattle Children's Hospital, which does this kind of thing, makes clear in its website that these are risks and says, you know, if your child wants to do this, make sure that the eggs or the sperm are frozen. But imagine asking a 14, 15-year-old young person to make these kinds of decisions, especially in a highly pressured environment, such as these poor, confused kids are in. It's just terrible. And then you look at the fact that this will tie children to the medical system for life. And nobody knows the kinds of harms that can result from giving estrogen to a young man who becomes an adult for decades. It is clear that there are very likely risks associated with cancer, with deep vein thrombosis, you know, heart attacks, with increased risk of diabetes. But, you know, this is all going ahead with essentially no clinical trials to examine the safety.
Then why do you think it is that, and we started out by talking about how rapidly this has come upon us, why such a dramatic shift in young people, and now we're not just talking about young adults, we're talking about children who, for one reason or another, are confused about their gender. Why is that on the rise so much?
Yeah, and it's just rising exponentially. Cases of so-called gender dysmorphia across the Western world. We see this in the Netherlands. We see it in England. We see it in Sweden. And I think there are several reasons for this. One, of course, is just the tremendous confusion and anxiety that has afflicted today's young people because of the breakdown of authoritative institutions like the family and institutions in communities like churches. Kids are so confused today, and when you add to that the hyper-sexualized environment that nearly all of them are compelled to live in, with everything from cell phones and computers to pornography in readily available movies, kids are just anxious and confused and have no idea in many cases of how to steer through this morass. And there are sites on the internet which are almost transgender cult sites where confused kids can go and they can watch videos of other kids who've had these kinds of procedures or medications, saying that their life is so much better. You can go online, you can buy chest binders for girls to try to look more like boys. You can buy underwear for girls who want to literally look like boys. So kids are just victims in this overwhelmingly confused environment. And no wonder we see a rise in complaints of gender dysphoria.
You quote near the end of your piece Philip Reif, who talks about the free-floating self unconstrained by reality, now believed to forge its own identity through a creative assertion of the will. When this is writ large, Catherine, into our politics, this kind of, let's just call it a will to power. If it's given the levers of power, even in a democracy, a republic like ours, what awaits us?
Well, that is an excellent question. You find that although there are many, many doctors, social workers, psychologists, family therapists who are deeply, deeply concerned about this trend, it in many circles is seen almost as a career-ending move to raise real doubts about this. And as one therapist has said, in what other field is the self-diagnosis of a 10-year-old taken seriously by medical professionals? Well, if you speak up about this, say you have an 8-year-old boy who thinks that he is, in fact, a girl, you are going to find real pushback from, at least here in Minnesota, from school officials, from some medical practitioners telling you that as a parent, you are bigoted, you are denying the true identity of your child. And in this transgender toolkit I mentioned to you earlier, which our Department of Education here in Minnesota is now thinking of imposing on all public schools here, parents who don't affirm this kind of self-awareness on the part of their child may well be seen as, quote, maltreating the child in a legal context. A great example of what can happen is what happened to Dr. Kenneth Zucker in Canada, one of the world's foremost authorities on gender identity issues in kids. And his clinic was shuttered because of pressure from activists, simply because he believes that watchful waiting and family therapy is the best way to treat young children who have these kinds of problems. So free speech is increasingly threatened here in parental rights.
Catherine Kirsten is Senior Policy Fellow at the Center of the American Experiment based in Minneapolis and author of a column for First Things titled Transgender Conformity. You can read it at issuesetc.org. Click listen on demand. Catherine, thank you very much.
My pleasure to be with you.
On the other side of the break, it's Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris of the Ruth Institute joining us to talk about the Supreme Court allowing to stand a lower court's ruling on birth certificates of children of gay couples. Then we're going to be talking with Pastor Peter Speckard, author of the new book, Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters, about some recent statements made by Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg on the church and community memberships.
the church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Jesus the good teacher, Jesus the therapist, Jesus the giver of bling. The Issues Etc. book of the month for June is Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? 12 False Christs. It's written by regular guest Dr. Matt Richard. Read an excerpt at IssuesETC.org or purchase Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? By calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month, Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up?
Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Quinn, Senior Pastor of Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas, inviting you to join us for divine service on Sundays at 8:15 or 11 a.m. Living Word is located at 9500 North Panther Creek Drive in The Woodlands, a community about 30 miles north of Houston. That's Living Word Lutheran Church, where we proclaim the living word of Christ, that all who hear may walk in newness of life.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.